Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you for being with me today, and I've got a perspective that is going to be unique. And I think I tell you that every time, but again, my guest today goes by the name Dr. Trevor. And the reason that he goes by that name is because he is a podcaster, and he's got a podcast called Unprofessional, and he is just trying to make sure that he's protecting his anonymity due to the fact that he's open and honest and really gives you the straight stuff while he's talking to everybody. Dr. Trevor is from New York. He is a medical student about a month and a half away from being a full MD looking into emergency medicine. He is a member of the millennial generation, Generation Y. Dr. Trevor, hey man, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob. It's a pleasure for sure.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, please.
Yeah, so I'm originally from like a suburban area, and, you know, I have a lot of older siblings, and I always felt, you know, I don't know if you've seen the documentary, The Last Dance with it's like Michael Jordan and all those guys.
Definitely.
So I kind of felt a little bit like, not that I'm Michael Jordan, but, you know, like the kind of the runt of the litter, like, oh, you know, I need to garner respect or at least gain some attention, you know, from whatever it is, you know, my parents or siblings or whoever. And I think this is kind of how it spawned me into healthcare in the first place. It was like, what's one way I can really show myself off? You know, Michael Jordan, I guess, did it in by becoming an absolute beast at basketball, which I have no talent in. But I was like, all right, well, I have no talent in something cool like that. What's something I can just, if I put tons of time and effort into just every single day and make it, what's something that is a sure route to, like, you know, essentially garnering attention or respect, or, you know, these are not maybe the most amicable qualities you look for and why someone gets into something, but it is true.
Wait, no, I appreciate your openness about that. I mean, most people are like, I got into medicine because I want to help people.
Right?
Like, no, I didn't get into medicine because I wanted to help people. I wanted my parents and my siblings to all look at me and say, like, wow, he did well with himself. Like, hey, more power to you. Whatever it is, you're definitely working on that. Now, you, in the show notes, I was seeing that you went to medical school down in the Caribbean. Can you talk to me a little bit about that? Like, what was that experience like? Is there a different approach down there, or how does that work?
Yeah. So, I only know what I've experienced, but having gone down there and done all that stuff and looking at, you know, some stats here and there, there's a significant amount of physicians and other medical care providers who are coming out of Caribbean, you know, medical schools and other schools like that, international medical schools in general. So I used to look at it as some kind of like, special circumstance, like, oh, maybe I'm bottom of the totem pole, or just like, oh, I'm really different. But there's so many of them coming out of there that you got to look at to the point where changes and things that occur with St. George's University or other universities out there in the Caribbean, they're significant. I mean, there's a lot of people coming into healthcare from those places. So I know that's something I just came to a conclusion of recently. But I think it's a little different. You know, they have access to a lot of the resources, you know, medical resources, things like that, that everyone else does, but there's less like one-on-one help, but there's less things like that. So you kind of have to kick your butt into an extra gear when you're down there. Especially when you're someone like me who doesn't have a lot of intelligence, you know, pure academic intelligence in the first place. So you got to kind of really work hard.
Okay. Trevor, I just have to say, you're not inspiring me a whole lot, because so far you got into healthcare, not because of the altruistic, I want to help people. And the other piece is, you said, well, I'm not really that smart either. But I'm hoping that you will, that as you have learned, it's going to be increasing your heart, increasing your thought process, and it's going to, you know, ultimately put you in a place where you are practicing quality medicine, which really takes me into the next question, and that is, what does quality healthcare mean to you?
Right. And I think that's one thing that hopefully I excel at a little bit more is, you know, taking in the full picture, I guess, holistic, which is kind of a butcher word at this point, in healthcare and just taking care of people and what people need really in general. And something I just heard this morning, actually, is that in primary care, 50% of the problems happen supratentorially. In other words, saying, you know, in a non-nerdy way, a lot of problems are in people's heads, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just how it is. It's still a problem and must be, you know, solved or at least adjusted so that, you know, people can live, you know, high quality lives. So, you know, again, it comes down to a lot of cliche things such as, you know, rolling with people's cultures and, you know, socioeconomic status and various things and their knowledge of healthcare in general. And man, really being in Brooklyn and seeing the different disparities, it really draws you attention to it. So,
yeah. Okay. So talk to me a little bit about, you use the word holistic. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about what that concept of holistic medicine means for you.
For me, especially in primary care, I am interested in emergency medicine. But for primary care, it's understanding why the person's having the problem in the first place. If this person's not taking their insulin, you need to figure out why and really adjust it and adjust it to the point where, okay, yeah, the symptom that they're telling me or the side effect of this medication they're taking, for instance, is made up, you know, it's, yeah, metformin doesn't cause pelvic pain. That, you know, it just doesn't happen. But we need to adjust and work with that from now on. If, you know, tell them that that's not necessarily the case, or it's, you know, you don't have any data showing that, and then you got to work with it, you know? And so that's just one step of the process that might go three more steps, you know, to the point where they're taking a different med or, you know, or they're that you tell them something where they can adjust their lifestyle or whatever, but it just throwing medications at them isn't necessarily the answer, but also, you know, just pulling them back and saying, change your lifestyle isn't necessarily the answer either. So of course it's a balance.
Okay. Can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
So, yeah. So there was this one time, this is a different scenario. This surgeon, who I respect greatly now, we went into this room. I didn't even know what was happening because they don't tell medical students a lot. We're just kind of there. She's going to tell this person that she has breast cancer, and you do it in this, you know, kind of step-by-step process. And this is one of the, I don't want to say a few ways. This is one of the ways where, you know, an algorithm along with trying to understand a person or like feed off emotions that are happening in that moment can kind of coexist. So she's kind of going through this algorithm that we learned where you want to like kind of tell them what is happening. You don't want to sugarcoat it. You want to tell them what this means in you know, generic terms that they can understand and so on and so forth, when to give empathy and things like that. And then you integrate that with, you know, your actual emotional understanding, the things you grew up with, your actual human side that is more integrated into your DNA than it is something that you learned. You know, you kind of came out of the womb with it and learned with it as you've grown up. So that was just a super cool experience. And I'm like, wow, I hope I can take that with me, you know?
Yeah. So it's interesting to hear you say that because it's not just about the academic knowledge. It's not just about that, but there's also that human element because you are human and you're dealing with humans and you're dealing, especially in situations like that, with diagnoses that are not pleasant. And you're talking about things that, you know, is oftentimes you're not delivering good news. So in there, there's the human connection to make it all work together. Okay. So what do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
Yeah, that's a really hard question to answer. I think that might be the hardest one here. I think, so are you talking about the general lay person? Or are you talking about like medical profession or just
anyone? So, I mean, part of the goal of the podcast is to help the community at large understand different medical roles better, but it's also to help the medical community understand the other people within the community so that they have a greater respect and a greater mm-hmm. understanding of what it is that their coworkers are doing. So it's not always like, how come the emergency room doctors always do this mm-hmm. thing? Or how right. come, you know, just to increase an understanding across the board.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, I'll do both actually. So one, just with medical care in general, like with other medical care providers, for instance, emergency medicine, it's like, you know, things need to be understood on both sides. It's, you know, the Democrat and Republican thing in America. Like you, if we don't have, an agreement that we're trying to come to like the best conclusion, instead of just becoming into like a gridlock where we're fighting each other, it's not, you know, necessarily helping a thing. Then we can't really move on. It's not going, democracy's not going to succeed, you know, in this case, in medicine, it's just, we're not going to come to like a sound conclusion that's best for the patient. So in emergency medicine, you know, we have a patient, we send them up, you know, for asthma related, cause, for instance, we gave them magnesium. And then, you know, the internal medicine person's like, why did they give them magnesium? That wasn't necessary at this point. Well, we knew this person was not good enough to stay. We wanted them to stay in the hospital. They're not okay, but we don't have a cause to write down. So we need to maximize their asthmatic care so that we can admit them to the hospital, because they're not okay. We can't send them home. They're not good enough. So, you know, then internal medicine, whoever, surgery, whatever, they look at this and they go, that is a very silly thing to do. But, you know, if we can try to understand each other, you know, okay, look, we're just that in that case, we were trying to do the best thing for the patient. And this is the only way we could really do it. So I guess just having more empathy, or at least trying to understand the other side. And that goes both ways. I'm sure there's plenty of things that emergency medicine doesn't look at that other people do too. So,
yeah. So it's so funny to hear you use the Democrat and Republican concept, because because we have a two-party system, it's almost like whatever one side comes up with, the other side has to say that's the worst idea in the history of mankind.
It's really sad, yeah.
And vice versa. And to me, you're representing the people. And so let's figure out what's best for the people. And what's best for the people should be something that everybody can agree on. And there should be some, like, pardon my bluntness on this, but there should be some no-brainer things that we can all say, this is a good idea, and I don't care where the idea came from. And I think that that's really what you're looking for in the patient and doctor relationship, where one side is not automatically just gainsaying what the other side says, and you all basically end up at an impasse. It's looking to meet the needs of both parties in a way that you come up with a plan of care that works for everybody.
100%.
What excites you about the future of healthcare?
So yeah, that's one thing that goes overlooked with, you know, there's so many bad things to look at, because there just is, and things to change and things to improve upon. But yeah, something that excites me at least is honestly just the discourse that we're having right now. Cause I mean, it's been tough, you know, over the last 2 years of clinicals and the 2 years before that of basic sciences, and seeing all the just roughness and like, not like this stuff is not optimized. Like some of the science is optimized, but healthcare itself is not optimized in the US or really anywhere. So I'm like, wow, I'm really going into the system that's really messed up. What can I take away from this? Like, what's good? And, I mean, the discourse that we're having now. I mean, the things that I'm talking with my fellow medical students about and stuff, and it just, you know, I see all this like bad culture in medicine and you know, difficulties in like, you know, residencies. But hey, hours are coming down. You know, cultures are shifting, and I think that really is something to look forward to. And even if it will be bad for, let's say, or quote unquote bad for my lifetime, at least I can make some change for it. You know, I mean, that's, if at least I have some kind of purpose now, you know, I can, hey, if I can move this boulder that is a bad culture in medicine, just 1 inch further, then, you know, maybe my life was worth it. You know,
I completely agree. One of the first jobs that I had was doing disability education for medical students. And when I talked to my boss about it, I'm like, why are we working with medical students and not with medical professionals more? And he said, you know, it's much easier to start people off with good habits than it is to try and break bad habits. And I think that it's very valuable to have those conversations amongst medical students. But I also think that what we're looking at is a systemic failure. There are the medical system is full of wonderful people who are very smart, and they got there because they want to help people, and that's what it's all about. And yet the system is set up in a way that can be one of the biggest barriers to patients receiving the quality of care and the nature of care that they truly need. All right. So what is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
So that one's a little bit tough for me to answer, just because it feels a little bit, I'm like a child to some of these guys. For me to tell them what to do is a bit crazy. But one thing that I've just noticed here and there in medicine is, I've already kind of said it, but just try, even if it's just so far-fetched, this person's opinion, or try to understand where they're coming from, you know, whether it's the patient or a medical professional. Like, it's so easy, and it's so easily done in medicine to just throw away someone's thought or idea. And especially when you're exhausted, you know, it's your 12th hour, you're a surgeon, you know, you just, and then this, you know, EM guy comes up to you, he's been working 1 hour, he's all cheery. Like, you want to slap him in the face, you know? Like, how dare you come in here and then tell me what's wrong with my patient, type of thing. But, you know, it's those times when we're tried the hardest. And, you know, it's, again, it's easy to say comfortable in this chair, not having done medicine very much. But if there's one thing that I can hold on to, I hope it's that as I go along here, because I think that's just something that's really important.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is basically you have to meet people where they are. The conversation can't start with "you're wrong, I'm right, now get over yourself." It's got to be, okay, I'm listening to you enough to hear where you're coming from, and then we can move forward to a resolution. Am I properly summarizing what you said?
You're 100% right. And that doesn't mean you can't, you know, goof off with your friends and stuff and say like, "oh, hey, what a goofy thing that this guy did." You know, that's part of being human. Right. And I do that more than anyone probably, but when you actually are having a conversation with that, you know, guy or girl, like you don't need to do anything, but it's really helpful for the discourse and for, you know, the patient care. If we could just try to understand where the other person might be coming from or why they might feel that way, you know?
Excellent. Hey, listen, Dr. Trevor, I appreciate you joining me today. I wish you good luck as you are taking the next step in going from being a medical student to being a practitioner. I hope that your family is as respectful of you as you had hoped when you first started this. And listen, I appreciate you being on here, and I appreciate you sharing your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.